plenty of things to jump into in the back half of the show, but we are going to spend a little bit of time talking some guards. Obviously, we did not get to talk about them last night, which was an unmitigated disaster. It was the Guardians walking in three of the six runs that they gave up. Half of the run total came from just issuing free passes, and the bullpen was atrocious. And then today they ripped off a 5-2 win. Couple of guys going deep. Actually, I think three different instances of guys going deep. And they had multiple homers last night. The power seems to be rolling around a little bit. It was a positive note. But to put an end to a four-game losing streak, there have been worse situations. There have been, obviously not this great trend of continuing to play fantastic. But that was break down everything that we've been seeing recently from the guards. We head out to the Weishart Right, We Make It Right. Call Kyle Wright Hotline. You can find his work over on Sports Illustrated. Our good friend Cade Crack is joining us now. Cade, what's going on?
How are we doing, sir? Doing good and obviously doing great because the Guardians got a victory today and finished off the series strong.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll take the win. I'll take the happiness of today. They looked pretty good today, but I don't know how much longer I can survive watching this bullpen. What on earth is happening with them right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one that I've continued to question every single week, it feels like, every single series, because I understand that, from the front office perspective and from Stephen Vogt, like, he's very, very trustworthy in this bullpen. He believes in them. He believes in the talent that's assembled there. But it's hard to believe in it from the outside perspective when you've seen the results that we've gotten as of recent. Like, yeah, I can't wrap my head around seeing Matt Festa out there in the ninth inning. That's the big thing for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. But, I mean, just as a whole, obviously, we see Tim Herron luckily get the negative x-ray, but he's going to be down on the IL for a little bit. I mean, is the Guardians farm arms, is it this thin? Is there not a single person to try out in the organization right now to turn to and get a little bit of help?
I'd love to say yes. And I would, I'd love to. But the issue is, Jake, a lot of injuries have hit that group right now. Justin Campbell, obviously the biggest headliner as of recent. Cal Steven, he's kind of gotten banged up. And just recently today, it got announced he's going to be out for 10 to 12 months. So some of these teams' most highly touted prospects are either injured or the next ones in line are too far down and far away at the moment. Like, we've got guys right now in high A and double A who are really, really talented. And then again, like, you have guys at AAA, though, too, that just aren't polished enough just yet. So, yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it's surprising because you heard about Cleveland being this pitching factory in the minor league system for years. And they're not a bad group, but they're a group that's just not there yet. And so I think that, we do look at this group right now, and there are probably a couple of guys you could flip-flop between the majors and the minors at the moment, but it is very thin from years past.
I want to ask you about one guy in particular, Eric Sobrowski. He was a guy that last time we talked, obviously you brought up, he was dealing with the injury, waiting to come back. He's now been back and I think hasn't looked good would probably be the really nice way that I'd like to frame it to Eric. But Kate, I'm talking to you. So he's looked god awful since he's been back. I mean, it's probably too long at this point already to say that it's just working back from injury. It feels like more than that already, no?
Yeah, five of the games since he has returned of, I think it's what, nine at this point, or 10 maybe? I think it's nine. But five of the nine games that he's been back since, he's going to run in. And he's given up two or more runs just once. But still, you're right. Like, he hasn't looked like the arm that we saw at the beginning of the campaign. He went into that injury spell holding on to a 1.71 ERA. And he's come out now a couple of weeks later at a 3.33. So it's really, really been an uphill battle for him since he was on the IL and has returned. And that kind of puts a question mark into my head. Arm injuries are the biggest thing for pitchers. I mean, anyone knows that and everyone knows that. But is there something going on behind the scenes here where there might be a little bit more to this arm injury that hasn't been discussed? I know that he's got a long history of Tommy John surgeries, but there's some questions here to be had because, you're right. Eric Sobrowski hasn't looked the part. And with him being your high-leverage, go-to left-handed pitcher, I mean, you have no one else behind him because now Tim Herron's injured. So let's say hypothetically here, Eric Sobrowski does go on the IL. Jake, your next guy in line for that left-handed top spot is Cody Hoyer.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel good whatsoever.
Not at all.
I mean, listen, pitching's obviously been rough, but injuries have, as you mentioned, struck in this team in a big way. Chase Lauder being back has been nice, but you're still down on hell. You're still down Hosey. How do you feel like at this point, they've held up. We talked about kind of just trying to stay afloat, you know, survive without Jose until he's back. Hey, where do you feel like they stand in that area up to this point?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of the road because I think all we asked of them during this time, and I think this is what we talked about the last time we chatted, Jake, was you just kind of wanted them to hold down the fort, you know? And that's kind of the thing that you're looking for because you come out of that Detroit series. Obviously, you won two of those games. Then that Sunday game was postponed. Then you faced Milwaukee, Houston, Chicago, lost all of those, but then returned home and responded with a victory over the Seattle Mariners in that series. And that was a pretty big one. Obviously, we saw some chipperness, some feistiness between the two sides. And the Guardians came out on top, but then they lose the next couple. They lose to Texas, they split Chicago, and then they lose this Minnesota series. And now you got the Marlins coming up here this next week and before the All-Star break. So as long as you can maybe come out of this with a win against, you know, the Marlins this week, I'd be pretty happy or at least content with how we held down the fort in the meantime because, I mean, the return of Hosey and Angel, which should be in the next 2 weeks or so, I mean, that's gonna be a big boost for this team, especially too with Watson kind of having a little bit of an emergence and some other guys kind of having their way of filling in voids. Gabriel Arias, I know he's been so sporadic, but seeing some of that power he's unleashed, you know, guys have stepped up and filled voids in different ways. And, you know, that's really all we ask them because it's a young bunch, Jake. And obviously, you know, I'm going to tell you, you're going to tell everyone, anyone can say it. This team has looked rough the past few weeks. But there's also been some small silver linings. So I think that when you come out on the other side of this All-Star break, I think there's a chance for it to go uphill from there.
And again, Cade Crack is with us here on the hotline. I actually wanted to talk to you about one of the silver linings, which I just think has been some of the guys you highlighted. It's been a lot of the young guys. Like, we watched, obviously, Cooper Engel did not have the greatest time in the world up here and is going to try to, you know, get re-ready for that moment. But Cleo Watson looks really good. We've seen, I mean, Chase DeLauder since coming back from injury has looked fantastic.
Oh, he's been great.
Like, you take a look at the young guys on this roster, and it feels like not only is it DeLauder and Bazzana, but now with like the addition of Cleo Watson, it does kind of speed up the timeline. And I don't know, it speeds up the timeline, but it makes you feel like you're in a better spot. And I think particularly in one of those areas we looked at, the outfield.
Yeah, I know for sure, because what we talked about last time was the coincidence of, like, if you have Stephen Kwan playing rough, the DeLauders of the world and the Angel Martinez's and the Khalil Watsons, they can't play rough either. But when they're all playing rough, it makes it a really, really tough thing to swallow. But now the nice thing is you mentioned the young guy stepping up too, but Stephen Kwan's had a little bit of a resurgence lately. Khalil Watson, like you said, Chase DeLauder, if he can DH, man, that's going to be a great help for this team because you get that power he's unleashed as of recent. You know, we didn't see him hit many home runs since that first series. And then after that, it was what? On the road against Oakland and at home against Chicago. And he finally has left the yard, what, three times since returning from injury? So maybe that's all a guy needs, like DeLauder. So having DeLauder play well, having Watson, having Bazzana, he was on a bit of a tear there too in this recent homestand. But, you know, guys having those moments where they're stepping up and showcasing what they have to offer, it puts a little spotlight on the future of this organization, Jake. Yes, there's some guys in here you got to kind of figure out what their plan is moving forward. But some of these young guys, man, it makes you excited about what's to come.
Is it crazy to me to bring up the fact, like, obviously DeLauder hasn't played a ton of games in an individual season in his career, dealing with injuries, obviously at the college level. But is it almost like an injury worked as a good break for him and maybe a little bit of a refresher? Is that too far to say?
No, not at all. And I think this kind of flew under the radar last offseason. And this came from the good old buddy at first base, Kyle Manzardo. He had said at the end of last season, and it was, you know, reported on by Andre Knott at the end of the year because he had chatted with him, that Kyle Manzardo came out at the end of the campaign and said he didn't realize how long the season was because it was the first time for him that he'd gone over 120 games in a season, over 100 games in a season. And he said by the end of the campaign, he was just exhausted. And so I think for some of these guys, like DeLauder in this case, he got really lucky because surpassing the amount of games he's ever played before high school in one season already this year, and it wasn't even at the halfway mark before he went down with an injury, it gave him a time to reset, get his feet back underneath himself, get that bat more in a groove. And sometimes, I mean, you know, you could say it's anything. Like, there's a reason why, you know, in the regular work world, to put it out there for an easy way, you know, you go out your corporate job and then you go home and then eventually you're like, I got to go on a vacation or something because I need something to reset me. So in the sense, you know, that's kind of my thought with DeLauder because guys have said that before, like Manzardo. So I think this DeLauder break was huge for him, and we've seen it at the plate. He looks like a completely different player than when he was the couple of weeks before he got injured.
I want to take a look at some big picture things and just some of the conversations happening around the Guardians. I see a lot of people in the, hey, well, the Guardians are still in the contention, talk about how easy the AL Central is. And obviously, at the very top, they are one of the lowest win totals between them and the AL West and all of baseball. They're not good at the lead. But is the idea that the AL Central is an easy division maybe being overplayed a little bit in your eyes?
Oh, 100%. I think we see it across the board. I think that the biggest thing that's kind of teetering people away from saying the AL Central is a good division is obviously the records as a whole, but then you look at the rosters. And to be honest with you, Jake, I think any given person's going to look at those rosters across the board, whether it's the Tigers, whether it's the Twins, the Guardians, whoever it may be in this group, the Royals. There's not a lot of noteworthy names. You know what I mean? Like, you're not seeing the names that you're seeing out west. And, you know, for me, that plays a part into it because a lot of it is young guys. Like, we're seeing the Tigers really build a young core up. Yes, they've been banged up all season long. They've been hit with some hard injuries. The Twins are a young group as well. The Royals are incredibly young. And I'm surprised they haven't gotten a little bit more respect for what they're building. I know they've got some bumps in the road as well. But, you know, the AL Central's got a chance to really be, over the next 3 to 5 years, be an incredibly competitive and tough division. And I think that, yes, this year is somewhat of a down year, but from the surface, I mean, the guys in it, I mean, we're seeing competition series in, series out. We saw it against the White Sox here at home. We saw it on the road. Multiple of those games are going to extra innings, Jake. I mean, it's not a bad division. It's a competitive one, though.
Hey, talk to me about the Tigers. And again, Kate Crack is with us here on the hotline. I mean, this is a team who it felt like a few weeks ago was like, you can write them off. They're not playing good enough baseball. It's too big of a hill to climb. All of a sudden, you check in the rearview mirror, and they're 4.5 games back from the division lead.
Yeah, 43-50 on the season, 7 games back from .500. And Jake, they are on a roll since Monday, June 29th, which was a start of a series against the New York Yankees. They only lost one game. And let me tell you, it wasn't against the Yankees. They swept the Yankees, then lost the first game of a series against the Texas Rangers. But following that, they rattled off 5 straight and currently head into the weekend where they're going to be taking on the Phillies on a 5-game win streak. So this is a team that, like I just said, like, they're young, they're putting things together, and they also had to battle through missing Skubal, missing a bunch of the other members of the pitching staff at the start of the year. And they're finally putting it together. Like, this is a team that we saw last year, you know, struggle down the stretch. They could do the opposite of that this year. So I think that they're a team you definitely have to have your eye on in the rearview mirror because they can catch you at any moment, it feels like.
It feels like as the top of the AL Central gets so convoluted, there's obviously, I think people who watch this team in, day out, I think anybody who does it, you can get a little... I'm just pessimistic about certain aspects of the team or as the team as a whole. The idea of the Guardians maybe being sellers at the deadline has come up. Do you think that is in any way, if they have a rough stretch between now and the deadline, a potential and a possibility?
I'd be shocked. And I think the reason why I say be shocked is because you saw what they did this offseason. They didn't do much. All right. And that showed that they trusted the guys they have in the organization. They're not going to do that, Jake. They're not going to trust in the guys and do nothing all offseason just to go in the deadline and be like, all right, we're getting rid of all these guys. Let's move on from a bunch of these prospects and every guy in the book. They're not going to do that. And they also, you know, went out and gave a big extension to Jose Ramirez. Like, they know that window's shrinking. That's not something that they're blind to. We saw it early in the season. We saw it all the way up until this past week. They're not afraid to make moves and not make moves that are going to jar up the team a bit. Like, they sent down Cooper Engel. That showed something. They brought back up Petey Halpin. They gave Cooper Engel a chance. They brought up Khalil Watson. They brought up Travis Bezzano a couple months back. They gave Chase DeLauro the start on opening night. Like, these are all things that you see and you point to and you go, this is a different structure and a different organization that has been in years past. Now, if they went to this deadline and made some major moves, that wouldn't shock me because I think this is a team that's going to go in here instead of sell. I think there's a chance they buy a couple pieces here and there. They already made that Patrick Bailey move early in the year. They know they're a couple pieces away from putting this team into a really, really good spot. When guys come back from injury, like Ramirez, like Martinez, potentially Sabrowski, we'll see what goes on there, Heron as well. When they get this whole team healthy, maybe add a couple missing pieces in, I mean, they're going to be contending. I think they're going to be a really good team come October.
I mean, to that point, you look down, especially I've joked Columbus kind of looks like a AAA all-star team at times. You have a lot of prospects that are performing really well down there. You have a lot of guys who might not be ready, but they're going to be knocking on the door soon. I mean, is there a legitimate conversation for the Guardians to kind of talk about a little bit of a roadblock and maybe moving on from some of the prospects they have?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think a couple of the guys that come to the bigger picture and those, they're guys that have been talked about heavily is like, an Angel Henao, right? Like, he's a really, really strong shortstop right now, has a lot of potential moving forward. And yes, like, I understand, like, you'd love to keep a guy like that within the organization, but where does he fit in? Because you're not moving Brian Rocchio. Like, you're just not. Like, I understand some people want to make the argument that, okay, he has slip-ups defensively, or okay, he's not always that power hungry that he's been in games in some clutch moments. But you're not moved. Like, it's just not realistic for them to move on from Brian Rocchio or Travis Bazana at second base. Like, they're investing in those two guys. So the Juan Brios of the world, the Angel Henaos, some of those guys that might not get opportunities. Milan Tolentino comes to mind. Some of these guys who have got real stock to them and general interest from other organizations might get the boot at the break. And that's not a bad thing. Again, that shows that they're willing to move on from some of the prospects that they've been scared to do with in years past. We might see some of the guys in the outfield, like obviously Petey Halpin, he's back up to the major league roster. Khalil Watson's up here as well. But for a while there, that outfield was really crowded. So if they have to move stuff around at the break when Martinez and Ramirez come back, I think there's a chance for some moves there. I you're right, though. That AAA roster's good. So I don't think anything's off the table there.
I want you to take, obviously, the All-Star break's right on the horizon. A Guardian who is very happy the All-Star break is coming up and could use this break, and a guy that is right now sitting there saying, I wish this wasn't here and we were still playing baseball.
Yeah, I think a guy that could be happy that it's a break, and I'm going to be honest with you here, I think it's Kyle Manzardo. He's played a lot this year. I know he's had some nights off here and there. I think he's a guy, though, that with the break can take a deep breath, do kind of a Chase DeLauder-like reset, give himself a chance to come back out of the break and really take flight down the back half of the season, Jake, because unless you have Kyle Manzardo out there doing his thing, this team is down a couple of notches. Manzardo's great. I think he's a guy who you're sitting there going, all right, thank God I got a break. Let's take a step back, reassess, and get back out there. I think a guy who's maybe unhappy that there's a break here might be like the Chase DeLauder in this sense, because, you know, he just had a mini break. You know, it's funny, we just talked about that. He just had a break, but now he's getting hot. Like, for him, he probably wants to keep this going. But I think that as a whole, like, if we're looking at a broader picture, the bullpen's a group that's going, thank God we got a break right now because we need some changes here.
Okay, we got about 30 seconds. Your favorite All-Star event, and why is it the Home Run Derby?
It's the Home Run Derby. I mean, come on, the Home Run Derby is awesome. I'm a huge fan of it. I wish we could see Jose Ramirez out there, maybe see some Kyle Manzardo or something like that. That'd be awesome down the line. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Home Run Derby. I don't think anything beats it.
I'm right there. I think it's up there. I mean, between that and the 3-point contest in the NBA, I don't think we're really rivaled for just two events that I'm excited
100%.
For. Those are mine, too. All right, Kay, we got to run, but, you know, I appreciate you setting aside the time. Always good to get your insight, and hopefully down the line here pretty soon we'll be talking again.
Hopefully we do, and hopefully it's talking about the playoff picture.
I hope that's a thing. All right, thanks, Cade.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Kay Krakus, Sports Illustrated, covering the Guardians with this there on the Wise Heart Right We Make It Right call. Kyle Wright Hotline. Really good stuff. We're going to react to what he had to say, and is it time for the Guardians to start moving on from some of those prospects? We'll break it down coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.